This is James Malcolm Reviews James Malcolm, a podcast where your host, James Malcolm, reviews James Malcolm. As a gay icon and stand-up comedian, James Malcolm has had his share of comedy reviews. Like this one from the spinoff.co.nz.
If I'm honest, I did sleep through James Malcolm, so I just cannot comment on what they did.
But now it's time for James Malcolm to review every part of himself and see what he discovers. Here's your host, James Malcolm.
Hi everyone, welcome along to another episode of James Malcolm Reviews James Malcolm. This week I have very exciting special guest. It's one of my very close friends, a very talented comedian and theatre person. It is, you're looking very stressed at my introduction.
That is insane introduction.
What do you mean?
Way blown out of proportion. All my skills.
It's Maria Williams!
Hello!
Welcome to the show. Thank you for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
How are you feeling about things? How are you feeling about reviewing me today?
I'm feeling a bit tense. I'm a bit nervous. Not that I have anything bad to say. I haven't been on a podcast in a really long time. I was on a podcast before I even knew what podcasts were years ago. And it was a podcast about Kevin Spacey, and it was going for like 2 years.
Oh, I think you've told me about this.
My two friends ran a podcast about Kevin Spacey where they like talked about every single one of his films, and then they did the grand finale episode after 2 years, and then that stuff came out about him, and so the podcast was immediately deleted off the internet, and fuck Kevin Spacey. But that's the only podcast I think I've ever been on.
Wow.
I also got into Auckland City, and you know when I saw people with masks and then remembered, oh shit, we're in the COVID epidemic. I'm meant to be wearing a mask and such. And I went into the alcohol store, and the guy is protecting us from his COVID with
a thing of glad wrap.
He's just put up a wall of glad wrap, which last time I commented on, I was like, got your shield up, looks protective or something. And he was like, yes. But anyway, obviously better than nothing. But I already had nervous energy because I was like running late. I slept. I was sleeping, and then I was writing copious notes to prepare. So I already had late nervous energy. And then I had, oh crap, that's right, the COVID epidemic is happening, and I did not wear a mask energy. And then I just also generalized anxiety disorder on top of all that.
So yeah. If you were writing a review about James Malcolm the person, mm-hmm. what do you think the headline of that review would be?
The first thing that came to me was, God loves a trier. And then I thought about it, and I thought, that sounds kind of mean, but I don't mean it in a mean way.
I don't take it to be mean. I think it is, it's not mean, but it's not, I don't know. It's a neutral. I think it's a neutral.
I think
it's accurate.
I think it's like, I don't think I've ever actually heard anyone use that term before, but I know it exists.
You're trying to call me a tryhard, but...
oh my gosh, teenagers are always like, oh, do you think he's a tryhard, miss, or whatever, and you're like, remember that I'm an adult, and trying hard is cool.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's such a weird insult, like, oh, you're a tryhard, it's like, yeah, that kid is trying. When is trying bad?
Yeah. And what are the areas you think I try a lot?
I think you try a lot in comedy, mm-hmm. in a good way. You obviously do a lot of stuff. You're super active.
Mm-hmm.
So what I put here in my notes,
yeah.
is that you put in so much effort. So like I was thinking of past comedy shows of yours where you'll really kind of make it theatrical or like put in a big theme, which is great. But then also, like, you put in so much effort when you host people at your house. And, yeah, I think that's great. I really mean it in a positive way.
I love that. Thank you. I'm taking it as a positive, mostly. I think that, like... I think that God loves a try is, like... It's the kind of thing that you say to someone
who is trying hard, but do you think the saying has a little tint of desperation baked into it?
Yeah, I think it does. I think in real life, how I imagine the saying happening is a granddad's watching his grandchild play football and the kid sucks at football and he's like, the kid comes back off the field, I don't know, and is super sad, and the grandpa's like, "Don't worry, lad, God loves a trier."
And I'm the kid.
You're the kid, and I'm the granddad. And I'm, I don't know, was that Scottish? Was that Irish? Yeah, I'm from those isles.
I think you and I are quite similar people in a lot of ways.
Oh my gosh, I really think that. Yeah, I do. When I was thinking about your worst qualities, I was thinking, I think you have the same bad qualities as me. I'm not 100% sure, but I think you do.
Okay, great. Yeah, I think we have a lot of this, a similar energy, I think we've got similar vibes going on, which I think is, you know, one of the reasons I really like you. I mean, I like people that are different to me too, but it's fun to, you know, it's fun to have that.
Great, yeah, awesome.
Okay, great. So, if you were describing me to someone who had never met me before and you were trying to, like, explain who I am, mm-hmm. What do you think you would say?
Well, the first thing I wrote was very young-looking baby face.
I'm surprised that hasn't come up on the podcast
before. Oh, really?
Yeah, because that's something I've always been told a lot, but it hasn't actually come up yet.
Very young-looking.
Yeah.
I was thinking, how old are you? And I feel like I've asked you a million times, but I think I never believe the answer. Are you like 24? 25?
25.
You're 25. Yeah. Oh yeah, that's right. You recently turned 25. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think I'm always shocked because you're one of those people who it's like, you could be 16. You could be 28.
I could be 16?
Yeah. Oh, okay. But what's followed up with that is next to very young looking. And then I thought, and acting? You're not that young acting, but you are very youthful. And I was thinking, like, I can't imagine you wearing a suit. No, I can't imagine you driving a car.
Oh, terrible at that. Bad anxiety. One time, I driving is, like, one of my big anxiety points. And
right.
I went for my driving, like, restricted test when I was younger, because I have not got my restricted license. And the test lasted like 5 minutes and I like was having this huge panic attack the whole time, to the point where the guy was like, okay, time to go back. Like, he's scared. And then we get back and he's like, now let's go through and talk about all the stuff that you did wrong. And I was like on the verge of a panic attack.
Yeah.
And I was like, actually, I don't really want to hear what I did wrong. Like, it's pretty obvious. Like, I couldn't drive.
Yeah, totally.
I don't really want to hear the minute breakdown of it. And he was like, well, I have to tell you all the things you did wrong. That's part of the test. And I was like, but you already told me I failed the test. So I'm so fine not hearing it. And he was like, no, I have to tell you it. And this is not my proudest moment, but I was on the verge of a panic attack. And I said to him, okay, I'm going to start beeping my horn until you get out of the car, and I'm just going to keep my hand on the horn until you get out of the car. And he was like, what? I'm like, bah! And he got out very quickly.
Good on you, because you were protecting yourself.
Yeah.
There's that thing where you're like, I need you to stop talking right now. Good on you. I love that you did that. I also really relate because I took my tests a few times, and I had a situation when I took my full and I slowed down for birds like four times. And the guy was getting so angry, and God, they seem to put really aggressive people seem to do that job.
Totally.
Anyway, the guy was getting so mad at me and I was getting more and more tense, and which was making me more and more stressed, which was making me slow down for the birds even more. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like,
he
totally.
Was yelling at me from the first time I did it.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just getting, anyway, so I slowed down for the birds like four times. He was screaming at me. And when we drove back, I was crying. I was already crying by the end of the test.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh no, I failed. This is so embarrassing. And then he goes, all right, don't see why you shouldn't have passed. And I was like, excuse me, sir. You just screamed at me the entire time. Anyway, I just like took took the license and ran. Amazing. But I really feel you on that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I need to come back, loop back around, because back to the very young looking and acting baby face, and you seem shocked. Next to that, I wrote tie-dye. Because a very young thing to do is wear tie-dye.
Do you reckon?
As we live and breathe, I wrote that prior, and you are wearing mother effing tie-dye.
I do wear tie-dye a lot.
Your t-shirt says chillin', and it has a smiley emoji with the sunglasses. That is the youngest. That is like mutton dressed as lamb. I don't know. It's just, I don't mean that. It's just it's a very young person thing to wear. Oh, obsessed. Like, the way, I don't think I know anyone who's like, and maybe it's because of my age, but I don't know many people who are like stans, like hard stans of people. And you really stan hard.
Yeah, I definitely do.
For Taylor.
Taylor Swift is the main one.
Glee. But... do you still stan Glee? Is that a young, is that an old thing? What things do you stan?
I used
stan?
To. I probably,
I knew there were other people. Do you stan Lady Gaga? Or
not
is that
really.
Max?
That's more Max. I love Miley Cyrus, and it died down.
Oh, yes.
Died down for a while. In some of her phases I wasn't. But I'm loving this new Midnight Sky Miley Cyrus. It's so good.
Her new song is incredible.
Yeah.
I think I've only heard that, but she's releasing an album soon, right?
Yeah, I think that's the only song out at the moment.
Yeah. I also said that you're influential because you in like a very short space of this year, have managed to get me very into board games, very passionate about board games.
Yes.
I'm back on Team Taylor. I was off Team Taylor for a good, like, almost a decade. And I'm back on Team Taylor.
I like to think of myself as a bit of a taste maker. And I don't know if that's always true, but that's my, like, self-image.
I mean, do you have good taste? No offense.
Ooh.
No, but something, but something that I kind of love is, like, I was someone who was always like, I used to love Taylor Swift, but it's not very cool to love Taylor Swift, so I guess I don't love her anymore, you know? Whereas yeah. You're like... fuck it, I'm ride or die Taylor Swift, no matter what she does, no matter what she says, I'm here with her, baby.
Not no matter what she says for the record.
No, definitely no matter what she says.
There are things Taylor Swift could say to turn me off her, but she hasn't said any of them yet. I think maybe I'm a tastemaker for things that are out of taste, like out of style, but I like bring them back, you know?
You never go out of style. Quote Taylor.
To quote Taylor.
Classic. That's basically my list, I think.
I love that. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I mean, those were pretty nice and they were just the describing ones.
Yeah.
Great. So, should we roll into the pros and cons?
Sure.
Okay, great. So, if you were writing a review about James Malcolm, the person, what do you think would be in your pros list for James Malcolm?
Pros list. Very generous. You're extremely generous.
That's really nice.
I always find it really impressive when Pākehā people are generous because I feel like it's not necessarily in our culture. Not that there's necessarily a Pākehā culture. People of other cultures are very generous.
Yeah, right.
And like, I don't know, maybe it's just my family. Maybe I come from a really ungenerous family, so people really impress me. But it's like, you host all these events... and will show up and you would have bought snacks and you'll have drinks for everyone in case they haven't bought drinks. Like, it's very generous of you. I think that's awesome.
Yeah, I take hospitality very seriously. I don't know. Like, I think
that quote on your next poster. I take hospitality very seriously. I love that.
Thank you.
I love that. Oh, I've also got you seem to a lot of the time be having less fun than other people. But
is
you seem kind of okay with it. It's part of the pro. No, it's very generous. It's like that thing where I put sacrifices self. I guess it's that thing of like the mother who hates organizing birthday parties or whatever. But it's like, it's my kid's birthday. I've got to put on this goddamn party.
I think.
Let's go.
That's something I definitely did last week. I think that I think that is actually something I took away from last week because I'm like... fuck, sometimes I need to just let go and, like, have fun at, like, these games nights rather than, like, it becomes especially bad when I introduce new games to games night, right?
Right,
because
yeah.
Because it's quite a a task to explain board game rules
to
a crowd, like to a room of eight people who are all drunk.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Rowdy. That's, yeah. I was very aware last week that we were all having fun, we were all drunk, and then we were all yelling, and then there was sober you in the corner being like,
I wasn't okay, that listen sober.
Up. Okay, listen up. I recently, you've really reminded me of a school teacher. Like, you'll be like, okay, everybody, eyes this way, eyes up, eyes this way. Are we listening? So-and-so, I'm trying to speak, and you're speaking. Who's speaking right now? Me. I've got to explain the game, you know? Like, you come in very strong.
Yeah.
And you're like, so help me God, everyone's going to know the games, the rules of this game, even if it kills me. That's the vibe you come in with.
I love
and
that.
And I love it.
That's incredible.
Oh, the other thing that I'm really impressed about is you'll talk about a fight. Like, I think the example is you talked about a fight you had with Max where you took him out of the room and you guys had this really big fight and you were really stressed or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But then you're like telling us a week later and you're laughing about it. And yeah. I'm like, that ability for you to not only get over it, but like, if that happened to me, I would honestly be like, never bring that up again. But you were like, guys, it was so funny, blah, blah, blah. And you can even like, you've got really healthy hindsight. You know, like you're even like, I overreacted or whatever. I was very impressed.
Thank you. I think that's a reason why I am drawn to comedy as like an art form, is because I think that the easiest way for me to deal with things and get over them is to joke about them.
Yes.
Like if I joke about something, I genuinely don't care about it anymore. Like it becomes just a joke. And I actually remember when I'm not currently seeing a counselor or anything at the moment, but when I used to see like therapists and stuff, they would tell me off for always, I would always say all the bad shit that happened in my life and I'd be like making jokes about it. I'd be like, oh, did this horrible thing happen? And make jokes about it. And they're like, you're not really dealing with, like, that's fine to do that outside of here. But when we're in here, you're supposed to actually like kind of tackle this shit head on. And you're kind of just making jokes about it, which was interesting. And I think I do that like a lot.
Yes, I so relate. My family really has always joked about things rather than dealing with them, which is both a negative and a positive, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But it's funny you say that. I remember when my granddad died and I told someone, oh, turns out my granddad is sick. And I was like quite stressed. He has cancer and I didn't know. And then like it happened really quick because like I didn't know about the cancer. And then I said to my friend, I go, hey, you know the other day how I was talking about my granddad? And she was like, yeah. And I go, update, he's dead.
Oh my God.
And my friend was like, why did you say it like that? And I guess it's that thing of like, I think my mum actually used to say like, you either laugh or you cry, you know, about things. It's like you either laugh or you cry about them. And a lot of the time I'm doing both. I'm often like laughing and crying at things. But yeah, I don't know. Maybe that is interesting. Maybe that should go on the negative qualities. Because
I definitely, do like the same thing as you're talking about. Like my dad is very sick. And I am constantly joking about it, which is bad. Like, I feel like if he heard it, he'd be like, why are you joking about the fact that I am very ill?
Right.
But he is genuinely one of my favorite people in the world. And it is one of those things where like, I do feel like, joking about it is how I deal with it. I'm genuinely very sad about this. And this is how I feel not sad about it, is to joke about it.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting? There's definitely something there about a coping mechanism. I guess it's like good in the short term, but maybe in the long term, I don't know. It's bad.
Yeah.
This is me trying to. Yeah. That's super interesting though. That's in your worst qualities now.
I think it's more neutral. I think it has its place.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. Totally. Not all the time.
It is funny that I definitely like say a lot of stuff on stage that I don't think I've said to people before out loud. And there's something about saying it to a room of strangers or like a bunch of people you kind of know, but you feel like it's a safe space. I don't know. It does seem psychotic. It's like, clearly you should see a counselor. I remember I did a Fringe show where it was like, it's $80 to register your Fringe show. And I remember being like, I'm so ill-prepared. I feel sick. I should just cancel it. And then I'm like, you know what? It's cheaper than therapy. I'm going to go out there and just talk about myself for an hour. Turned into an hour and a half. Whatever. That was my therapy for the week. Therapy's expensive, you know?
Yeah, it totally is.
It's really expensive.
And you would have got money back because we would have paid to come to the show, right?
Exactly.
Wow.
I mean, it was a choir show, but boy, was I rolling in the $5 notes. I also put that you're an advocate, like you definitely stand up for people and you're a big, I think that's something we have in common, which it's like me complimenting myself, but just where you're like, somebody has been wronged. Yep. I'm coming into bat.
Outraged.
I am outraged. They say they're fine. I am furious.
Yes, I definitely do that. And I think at times I've done that, but I can also think at times you've done that where you go from like nothing to like, I'm so outraged on your behalf, which I definitely do too.
I'm drafting an email as we speak. Yeah.
All right. Oh, we're on to the cons now.
Well, yeah, I was like, this is a funny thing that I thought I had this as a con for you, okay, which is hold a grudge, which is what I just said. I remember a friend of mine once said to me, like, your loyalty and your ability to hold your grudge is your best quality and your worst quality. Mm. She's like, I know you would kill someone for me, but I also, like, you need to get over shit, you know?
Yes, I have lots of grudges on people for various reasons. Recently, I went to my sister's 21st, and there was a girl there that I had a grudge on from high school, and I couldn't remember why.
What the grudge was about. Oh my god.
But
there.
Still felt it really strongly.
Been there. I had a situation where a high school friend had started dating, and in uni had started dating my other high school friend's, like, high school boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it was a few years later, and I remember we were so shady about it. And it was like 5 or 6 or 7 years later when I saw her again.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember her being like, she looked scared because it was like she didn't know what I was going to do. Not that I was really rude to her. I just was kind of like a bit dismissive because she'd broken the golden rule of like, you don't take your friend's boyfriend or whatever.
Yeah.
But this is when we were, I mean, it happened when we were 18. It's like, we're now 25 and we've gotten married.
Yeah.
They've gotten married. And it was just incredible, like, I kind of could see her flinch when she saw me, because she didn't know how I was going to be. And I was like, okay, you're married, like, you and you've got him, like, that obviously worked out well,
yeah.
And it was fine, and she's lovely, but, like, that thing where she was like, oh no, she's like, here comes Maria, and you know she's still holding a grudge. It's been 7 years.
Okay, but my one has been 7 years also, and I forgot why I didn't like them, still ignored them the entire
that
party.
You should have asked, hey, why don't I like you again? Oh, I've got where you think party mix is good. Party mix? Party mix.
Party mix
the is... worst lolly mix that's ever existed. You buy it, the big giant pack, on the mass. You are keeping that company afloat.
Because you don't know what lollies everyone likes, and party mix has something for everyone.
Not for me.
That's why they call it party mix.
Not for me. No. It's not really. It's kind of a joke, but kind of not, because... Yuck. Isn't it got, like, bananas and Eskimo? It's
but you very, don't
like...
eat the ones that you don't like.
Yeah, but I don't like any of them.
You don't like jet planes?
No.
What lollies do you like, Maria?
The Natural Confectionery Company. Please.
Okay.
Please keep that in mind next time you're being generous. No, I've also got... This is really funny because I was like, I wrote a thing. I hesitated then because I wasn't actually going to read this one. I've got one where I'm like, he could be shading me to others. Scared to get on bad side. Like, I don't know if that is a thing.
He could be shading me to others. Do you, what makes you... I definitely do not do that. Do you think I have potential to do that? Or do you think I do that currently?
I'm trying to think. I think maybe you've shaded someone who's not been there. And you know where you're just like... You're kind of insecure in your friendship towards the beginning. And you're like, what if I'm also that person?
Do I don't you think really I was shading them, and it's fine if you don't think this, but do you think I was shading them in a fun way or not?
No.
So the con is, and it is, James is a bit of a bitch sometimes, and so that makes me scared that he'll be a bitch to me.
Yeah, scared to get on, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, okay. I think that's definitely fair.
Of course, there's also self-indulgent, because you made a podcast about yourself.
Yeah, that is very self-indulgent.
I don't know if that's come up a lot, but also... I feel like this podcast, no offense, has a limited lifespan because everyone will be saying the same things. Is that fair?
Well, that was definitely a concern when I started the podcast, right. But I don't think that has been the case.
Really. Oh, well, that's good. I listened to a few episodes of the podcast, and I remember was like, I need to stop listening because everyone's saying the things I had already thought of saying.
The main one that comes up a lot is domineering of board game nights. I think that one comes up a lot.
Okay.
But a lot of the other stuff.
Leadership.
Thank you. Yeah. A lot of the other stuff I think is not always overlapping too.
Because I remember I listened to Max's and was like, oh no, this was my exact list. And I was really proud of myself because I'm like, well, Max and you are flatmates and have been friends for a really long time. And I'm like, this is great. It's actually we've got quite a short friendship. But you've obviously been your true self. And I obviously am a great judge of character.
Yeah. All right. And that was your cons list? No, did you have more?
No.
Okay, great. Lovely. Thank you so much. I thought that was great. Do you have a quintessentially James Malcolm story to share?
I feel like I don't have a real specific story. And that is mainly due to the fact that I have the worst memory.
Same.
But I do actually remember my first impression of you, which was when I saw you on stage as the Raw Quest winner.
Oh, yes.
Was that like 2014?
Yep, that was the year.
Okay, yeah, I lived in Queenstown and I happened to be up visiting for the weekend and I was not in comedy at the time. I was not even in theatre.
Really? I sort of just imagine you as being in theatre for like ever.
Forever.
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of just had a panic and was like, I need to get a real job and like went away from it and then everyone always comes back, you know?
Right.
The real hard outs always come back. Anyway, I remember I watched you do that and it was such a massive audience and I had not performed in a really, really long, in like since high school, and it was a massive audience, and you came striding out, and you were like 18 or maybe even younger.
I was 18 or
you
19.
You were so young, and you were so baby-faced as you are now. I'm imagining you as you are now, and you were so funny, obviously, but you were also like, what incredible confidence! Like you came out, you were 100% yourself on stage. You were also like very open in terms of your queerdom. Queerdom? Is that a thing? I don't know.
Queerness? I don't
queerness?
Know. Queerdom maybe queerdom? Is. Maybe I just don't know that
is
word.
Is that like a queer kingdom? I don't know. but like, and you were talking about Miley Cyrus. Shout out to a stan. You're talking about Miley Cyrus. And I remember just being so impressed by how confident you were to go out there and be yourself, like especially as a young person. And I remember I was sitting with my brother and Joseph Moore, who I know you've had on the podcast, and Joseph Moore was losing his shit because he was like obsessed with all the stuff that you were obsessed with. But anyway, I just really strongly had a strong first impression with you and I remember thinking like, man, that's cool. That guy is so confident to be on stage, so confident to be himself. Like, what an awesome job his parents have obviously done and like his teachers have done.
Oh, that's really nice.
Yeah, honestly, because it's that thing where it's like, I don't know. I went out into the world as an 18-year-old so scared. Do you know what I mean? And the fact that you were like up on stage in front of hundreds of people when you were so young. Anyway, it was very impressive.
I came out like, on stage doing comedy.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh my God, this goes back to the trauma. The like,
yeah.
Wow.
The first time I ever came out, it was because like I knew I was gay, but I hadn't told anyone yet.
Yeah.
I told people I was bi, but I hadn't told people I was gay.
Right.
And then it was like, saying I was gay was like going to be the funniest punchline for this joke because then I was like, I'm just going to do it. And then I just said it on stage before I told anyone.
Wow. Good on you.
Thank you. That's
so brave.
Thank you. That's
so awesome. Yeah. So that's my first impression to you. And then the only other thing is like, yeah, that I came to Auckland and you were like, oh great. You're here. I'll add you to this chat. Come to games night. And yeah, it's just, I'm so grateful for you for doing that because it's something I really look forward to and it's really nice to have, especially when I didn't know many people in this town except for my very antisocial family. So so thank you.
Thank you. This is lovely. It's a lovely way to wrap it up. Thank you so much. It's been really nice.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for having me.
No, of course. Thank you. Is there anything you want to plug?
I have absolutely nothing to plug.
Okay, great.
Stay safe. Wear a mask.
Love that. All right. Well, thank you so much, everyone at home listening to James Malcolm Reviews James Malcolm. Make sure you give it a 5-star rating on iTunes and all that stuff. Share it around. Tell someone you like the podcast. All that good stuff. And and I'll see you next time. Bye.